Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Just about 2 days later, still sinking in, the blockbuster NBA trade. Luka Doncic goes to the Lakers and Anthony Davis goes to the Mavericks. Maggie and Perloff were live from Radio Row in New Orleans. We've got so much football to get to, Perloff, but this is the stunner that stopped everybody in their tracks because there's so many tentacles. You never see guys like this get traded in their prime. You never see two all-NBA players getting traded for each other. That so rarely happens. And I think the bigger thing, we're so used to guys in the NBA getting traded and they ask for trades. They make a big stink about it. They want to not only get out of where they are, but go another place specifically, and that's all they'll do. It really does seem like Luka Doncic, the star here, was blindsided by this trade.
Oh, absolutely. Can I ask you a question? Could I have two simultaneous takes? One, that it was an awful trade for the Mavericks. And two, I don't think Luka Doncic is a championship player. Is that possibly be simultaneously true?
Well, I mean, if the goal for the Mavs is to win titles, then you can't say it was a bad trade. If you never think he's going to win, then you think it's a good trade.
Well, it's a bad trade because they should have opened up the market and see what else they could have gotten, because he's a great player. I just don't think he's a championship style player.
Okay.
He does not play defense. He does not move the ball. He's a bit streaky from outside. He's incredible. I mean, listen, the guy's a killer. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think his style of basketball ultimately wins championships in the NBA.
Okay.
I firmly believe that.
But here's the thing. The guys who he gets compared to, you like to compare him to James Harden a lot.
James Harden never
even got to a finals. Yeah. Like, you have a proof of concept that this guy made a finals at 26. You don't think that there's a world where he does get in better shape, where he does find the right teammates, where the league breaks right in a way that he can win a title. Like,
I
can't give up on
that. But that's not exactly a bringing endorsement either. You're like, maybe the league will break right for him to win a title?
Well, you just said last year you thought they got to the finals and it was like a fluke because Denver got taken out by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't think that was a fluke, by the way. I think Minnesota built their team to try to beat Denver. But you also, like, I don't think that's the last we've seen of Luka in a final. So that I will completely disagree. And I don't think the Mavs got themselves closer to a title with this particular trade.
Well, that I disagree with you on that. I mean, this gives them a better chance this year. I mean,
but how? If Anthony Davis is he's hurt right now,
but
right?
He's
a little
be
banged
healthy.
Up. He'll be back. And Luka, by the way, is also like banged up, but he'll be back as well. I just don't know if I see Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving. Now you're putting together a team on the fly midway through the season, and you're asking them to go win the title, or else this whole thing didn't work.
Well, basically, you might get a 3-year window. Okay, but all right, stay on the Lakers for 1 second.
Okay.
Let's say, I mean, the time frame is quick, too. They have LeBron and Luka right now. But how long is that going to be? 2 years at most?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's 40.
So what if they don't win a title before LeBron leaves? Very possible. I mean, the odds increased dramatically this year. They went from, 40-1 to 18-1?
18-1, yep.
So the odds increased. But say they don't win this, like, what is the next generation? They have a star in Luka, but that doesn't mean that they have Kobe and Paul Gasol. Like, I think it's a long stretch to say Luka is the key to multiple more championships in LA. I'm not quite sure how they build that team. I think there's a lot of work left to do over the next 10 years because you have this really small window with LeBron. And then after LeBron, who do you put around Luka to win a title? I'm not sure it's that easy. It's like the way people are talking about this trade is like they traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks to the Lakers. Now, I think it's a different kind of trade because obviously Kareem was going to win titles. I don't see that with Luka.
Well, I mean, it's the Kareem is so different. It was a different league. There were fewer teams. There was less talent. Like, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
But there's no way Kareem wasn't going to win a title because he's the best player.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that Luka is a top five player. And you always talk about this, and we talk about a lot with professional sports now. There are not a lot of sure things. And I realize I'm saying that as the Chiefs are about to be on the precipice of a three-peat and the Patriots did what they did. But there are really, especially in basketball, there aren't a lot of sure things. So why don't you try to give yourself the best chance? And it's hard for me to believe that Anthony Davis and Kyrie, that's the best chance to win a title. and two, that you are somehow better off without him. Like yesterday, when you heard their press conference, and that's Nico Harrison, who's the GM, and Jason Kidd, although Jason Kidd was just kind of there, they kind of made it seem like this could be an addition by subtraction kind of thing. That was sort of the vibes that I was getting, and that's kind of the vibe that everyone's putting out there, like that they didn't love the way that Luka went about his business.
Yeah, I mean, I think the comparison is James Harden after he got them to a game seven in Houston. If I told you, right, when James Harden was taking off in Houston, when he won the MVP, if I had said the team will actually be better off without him, most people would say that's ridiculous. The guy just won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe internally they see him as closer to Harden.
Manny, can we hear cut two, please? Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, wanting to build a defensive team that helped usher this trade.
Jay Kidd and I, we've had a vision in the culture that we want to create since we've been here. And the players that we're bringing in, we believe exemplify that. And, you know, we think defense wins championships. And we're bringing in one of the best two-way players in the league. And a lot of people don't talk about, you know, what he does defensively and offensively. But, you know, if you guys, you can name first-team All-NBA players that are also first-team All-Defensive players. That's a unique unicorn to try to find. And we're able to find that.
10 years ago, is Anthony Davis still the unicorn? I mean, he's still a good player. See, this is what sucks. I don't want to make it seem like I'm denigrating Anthony Davis. He's a good player. But it's not like they've been in the finals year after year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers are barely making the playoffs and getting swept by the Nuggets. So it's like, wow, we really found the missing piece here. It's like, what? I just don't see it. More from Nico Harrison, please. Manny, can we please hear on why they traded Luka Doncic?
I think it wasn't really like a point. I think it was like, how do we make our team better? You know, there's some unique things about his contract that we had to pay attention to. You know, there's other teams that were loading up, you know, that he was going to be able to decide is make his own decision at some point of whether he wants to be here or not, whether we want to supermax him or not, or whether he wants to opt out. So I think we had to take all that into consideration and feel like we got out in front of what could have been a tumultuous summer.
Only if you weren't offering the supermax, because history will tell you that every player who's been offered it will take it. So the only tumultuous thing, I think, was probably going to be coming from the Mavs side.
How many people is that?
I don't know. 10? 8?
Tatum and Brown I'm not on mic, but Tatum and Brown.
Tatum and Brown.
Those two guys.
Giannis didn't get a supermax?
His contract might have came up before the Supermax thing happened.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Listen, I think that if you invented a problem that either didn't exist yet because nobody thought that Luka wanted to leave, or the other part is you just didn't want to pay him, and they're trying to make it seem like, well, we weren't sure what Luka was going to do. Call it what it was. You didn't want to pay him. You didn't want to make the investment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm trying to defend something that's indefensible. I get it. It was a bad trade. There's no doubt about it. But I understand, like, I just don't see Luka like I think everybody else sees Luka. Like, any guarantee of anything. Think of Jason Kidd as a player.
Yeah.
He was tenacious. I mean, on both sides of the ball, 100%. He was all about the team, everything he did, and he won a ton of basketball games.
And how many titles?
Well, at least he took an average Nets team to
two finals and got blown out.
Yeah, but he won
a title at the end. At
he's
the
not
very
even
end.
Nearly as good as Luka. He just did everything the right way. Luka does not play like that. Luka is just a different kind of player. He's very different. He's very, very high usage. He definitely does not play defense. Like, these things are real, and I think.
But did anyone think he was good? That he was Jason Kidd?
No. Well, I mean, did anyone? Honestly, weren't you? Were you guys as surprised as I was that the Mavs made the finals last year? I'm like, oh my God, things really fell right. Thank God they didn't see the Nuggets. Because I understand that they got these two great defensive centers and Gaffney and Lively, and it was a great combo. But I was actually very surprised. I would never have thought I was shocked that Luka made a finals. Because I'm like, that style never makes the finals. Then they got to the finals and just got blown out. I know it was a gentleman's sweep,
yeah.
But they had, obviously, when you see a real team that moves the ball around, they had no chance.
Yeah, but I also think that it might have been the Celtics' time. The Celtics were I mean, tons of pressure to finally win. If they didn't win that finals, or it's like, are we breaking up Tatum and Brown and all of that stuff? I mean, the Celtics had been there and been knocking on the door for a long time. That Mavs team, yeah, maybe a little surprising, but when you have one of the best players in the league, you can make a surprising run like that.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it was actually going to end up being a surprise or something more perennial.
Well, it was probably not going to happen this year with Luka.
Who knows? No one thought it was going to happen last year. Let's
I just think
the
they're pinned pretty far behind one team, the Thunder, and there are other teams. Like, this team's not being the Thunder.
Well, did you think the Thunder were going to lose last year?
Yes, the Thunder were young and not ready. No, of course I thought they were going to lose. Did anyone pick the Thunder? Everyone thought the Nuggets were going to the title again.
Yeah, but the Thunder were the number one seed, and they have one of the most exciting young players, and that's, I think, one thing the Mavs feel like they can win a title this year before the Thunder really get their feet under them.
I don't think so.
Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. We're asking who will win a title first, Dallas or the Lakers? Michael's in Dallas. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Maggie, at least we're not still talking about Josh Allen.
Well, in a good way or a bad way with Josh Allen?
Oh, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl first?
Oh, Josh Allen or who?
Luka or Josh Allen?
Probably Lamar.
Yeah, I've been trying to drink to forget. You know what my problem is? Is that they didn't even shop him to the league. Did you hear that there was one other team that they offered Luka to?
No, Michael, and thank you for the phone call. That's the whole crazy part of this. No matter what the outcome is, the process was totally warped. Because Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka, the GM of Dallas and L.A. respectively, basically did this over coffee. And they're telling people that nobody knew. Anthony Davis didn't know. Luka didn't know. LeBron didn't know. That I find very hard to believe. But they're making it seem, Perloff, like it was just the two of them sitting around with a powwow and a back of the envelope. How do we get this done?
Yeah. No, it does feel that way. I don't know how to explain that. I'm not sure there were all these other great deals. Again, if Anthony Davis was 3 years younger, we wouldn't be having this conversation and be like, ooh, that's the guy you want to get. 31-year-old Anthony Davis. Do you really think you could have gotten Giannis? You're not getting Tatum. You're not getting Anthony Edwards. Like, who are you? What the interesting thing is, like, what value would you have gotten for Luka? You would have gotten picks, but would those picks have guaranteed to work out? Like, the Lakers picks might not be any good even. They might be low picks.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The picks are always a little bit dicey. The picks could be nothing, or the picks could be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which are exactly the picks that Boston got in trading with the Brooklyn Nets and then making a trade with your Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow, 3-1.
But I'm just saying, those were two first-round picks that came back in that trade, and the cornerstone of what the Celtics are now.
No, but that move, they were already at 3, and there was a lot of shenanigans going on about who was going to pick who.
Talking about the Nets and the Celtics trade with Garnett, Paul Pierce.
Was that 3 from the Celtics trade? Or
both of those trades.
Yes.
Both of those, yes.
I thought that was their own.
Both of those picks came from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes, so sometimes the picks end up really working out.
Right.
But
how many other times have they not?
Well, I don't know, because you have right now with Oklahoma City, one of the guys who's a really big contributor to that team is Jalen Williams, and he was one of the picks that ended up coming from the Clippers, along with Shea. But one of those Clippers picks ends up becoming a guy who may win the title this year. I don't know, dude. I just think that you also can't say don't know if another superstar was available because nobody knew that Luka was available.
Right. But a young superstar, like Shea, he's not going.
Well, Giannis is not young, but wouldn't you rather have him?
It's like my parents said, though. You don't know if you don't ask, right? Like, we keep saying, like, this won't happen, this won't happen. Like, my thing is, why not? If I was Boston, if you called by Luka Doncic for Jason Tatum, I'm definitely considering that.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Luka's a way better player than Jason Tatum. He's a way better player.
But you can't. I mean, Jason just won you a title.
MVP.
I do not agree with that.
Oh. You think Jason Tatum's better than Luka Doncic?
I mean, Jason Tatum is a two-way player.
I get that, but Luka Doncic is an entire offense.
Yeah, I know,
and
but
Jason Tatum has
entire offense at the expense of the other four players.
And Jason Tatum just went to the NBA Finals and struggled shooting the ball for most of that NBA Finals, which is why...
Yeah, but he had 14 boards a game. He was amazing.
I would not say he was amazing, but okay.
Yeah, but he was working. I mean, he was trying like really hard. He had a great defensive and a great. How many rebounds a game? He got double digit rebounds in the finals.
He was good. But the conversation coming out of that finals was, yeah. Man, Jason Tatum won the finals, but he did not win the finals MVP.
So who would you take, Anthony Davis or Jason Tatum?
I honestly, if I was, well, I probably would take Jason Tatum. If I was Dallas, I would prefer to have Jason Tatum because to me, you're not changing your whole team the way you are now because at least Jason Tatum and Luka kind of play a similar position. They're similar size. They have two centers that they have invested in Gafford and Lively you just talked about. Like, where the hell are those guys going to play?
We're asking you on Twitter, who is more likely to win a title first? The Lakers are winning this in a landslide, 76% to 24%.
Really?
You can go.
I'm shocked, and 24%.
Vote. I think it's, I don't know. I think people are probably looking at this and saying, man, what did we not know behind the scenes? Yeah. Because that's the only way you can justify how quickly this all came together and the fact that it seemed like Dallas just had to get him out. Because why? You could even wait till the summer to do this if you wanted to, and you don't have to be like in your facility every day, and ever all your teammates have to answer questions about it, and it's this big distraction. You could have just waited till the off season and fully shopped them around, and they still didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I think people, the 24% are probably thinking, man, they really had to get them out of there.
Well, no, I think the 24% are thinking they have Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. Like, that's a short-term possibility. At least you're in play. Where Luka, LeBron, it's funny, their odds went up. That feels like a stretch to me to win the finals this year. It could happen, but to win the whole thing, like, I just don't know. Like, LeBron's 40. We keep ignoring that fact. Are they really going to – their odds shot up to, like, how is that team, unless they make another move, and that changes everything. I just don't think that that team can get through the crazy West. You got Oklahoma City, you got Denver, you got even the bad teams like Phoenix and Golden State or Phoenix and Golden State. Like, it's just brutal. I think that there's no way the Lakers can match up defensively with the other teams in the West. So if you don't win in the next 2 years, then the conversation changes with Luka. Like, then he's 28 and injury prone. So it could, it's not guaranteed. Nothing here is guaranteed with Luka.
855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on this blockbuster trade. We also saw De'Aaron Fox get moved to San Antonio, 3-team deal that brings Zach LaVine to the Sacramento Kings. And some pretty interesting times here for the NBA. Definitely not boring. But we have plenty of football to get back to as well, as we are live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Coming up next, we do the M&P 500. It is a Monday show after all. So whose stock is up and whose stock is down after a big weekend?
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I really want to hear from people defending the Mavs, Maggie, because I admit I'm trying to squint and see their reasoning. It's tough. I think the large majority of people think it was one of the worst trades in NBA history.
Yeah, but Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis getting traded for each other, yes.
Yeah, but I don't think Luka Doncic is the guaranteed championship player that a lot of people do. So we'll see how it all works out. But definitely call us if you can explain the Mavs. If Nico Harrison, if you're listening,
yeah,
call in, buddy.
He really couldn't do a great job of it yesterday. I don't know why he'd be any better at it today. Adrian's our pal in Maryland. You like this trade for the Mavs, though, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good, and you guys as well. I do like to trade for the Mavs. They're getting defense. Both of them are in short-term futures.
Yeah.
So you look at Anthony Davis. He's going to play 5, 6 more years, 7 more years. LeBron's only going to play maybe 2 or 3 years, so they're going to build around Luka. But the Mavs, Anthony Davis is going to get to play where he wants to play. He wants to play forward. He's not going to have to play center, which is a good thing. Dallas is getting their defense. The thing I don't like about the Lakers, they got two guys that are ball dominant now that need the ball in their hand, and everybody else is basically going to sit around and watch LeBron and watch Luka play the game. And both of them, they both can't have all the shots in the game. They're going to have to get people involved, and that's the issue. Then Luka's he's basically a traffic cone out there on defense.
Yeah.
Last year against Boston, they knew exactly who they were going after, and it was Luka. He's the liability. And so the Lakers right now, their defense is going to be trash when you see them. You watch when Luka
plays.
Yeah,
well, Luka, I mean, Adrian, thanks for the call. You know, Austin Reeves is not exactly Mr. Defense. There's a lot of guys. Yeah, they're going to have to shore up on defense for sure. But here's my question, though. Are you sure, like, we may not think this could work with Luka and LeBron. I agree. Like, there's one basketball. I don't know if LeBron wants to give it up as quickly as he claims that he does. He's a high usage player, and Luka's maybe the highest. But are we sure, like, the Mavs side of this is what I get held up on? Because to make a move like this, I think you have to say we're all but guaranteeing ourselves a title. To not shop him and, you know, pull this off the way that you did and have this urgency, I think you have to be, if the Mavs saying, we're going to win a title this year.
I don't think the Mavs can look into a camera and say that.
Exactly. So that's my issue with the trade, because you could have just waited till the offseason.
Yeah.
You could have waited till guys had a training camp to get to know each other, gel, all that stuff. You had to do this right now at the middle of the season.
Maybe you think you have a slightly better chance.
Maybe, but it's not like the return was so good. So you have Luka now for a year and a half, basically, before you need to, before the Lakers have to decide if they want to pay him. So you'd think that would give you more in a trade, right? It's like when you trade a guy when he has more time left under contract, generally you get more back in return. The Mavericks didn't even get more back. They got AD back, which is great. And they got Max Christie back, which they think he can be a good player. You got one draft pick? Even just protect yourself for the future, I would have gotten at least more draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make the argument that are the Lakers picks? I mean, they have Luka. He's awesome. There's no way they're going to do that. But
yeah, Mavs should have thought about that.
But there is an argument you have a better chance at winning it all this year and next year with AD.
I don't know. Did anyone think the Lakers are 40-1 to win the title? Okay. And that's with healthy Anthony Davis. Well, you assume healthy Anthony Davis, I guess. LeBron. This team that they've put around him, like, all of a sudden AD is going to move, and I know he wants to play the four, and this is the five, and he was playing the five, and he wants to play the four. Do you think that's all of a sudden going to unlock this magic run to the finals?
No, but I do think that if Kyrie takes over some of Luka's usage, I think it could be an interesting team. Like, I kind of like the fit of those two players. I mean, the rest of the players, they need I keep reading they need more shot creation, like. They've brought in great players. Like, they've done a good job of surrounding Luka with decent players, like PJ Washington, who knew he was good, and he could be really good. They got rid of Maxi Kleber, who was talking about a defensive sieve. Oh my God, teams would hunt him like crazy. I think they sounded more sad
to get rid of Kleber yesterday than they did Luka at the press conference.
I think the Mavs are definitely a better defensive team, so that's something. And listen, if I told you again, it's the age. 3 years ago, Kyrie and AD. Wow, that would have been something.
And
LeBron and AD were something. They won a title.
Let's get to the M&P 500.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Okay, it's Monday, which means a little stock up, stock down after a big weekend. Pearl, who's your stock up, sir?
Okay, my stock up is going to go a little sentimental. Jack Beck, TCU wide receiver who lost his brother in the New Orleans terror attack. Tiger Beck had a walk-off touchdown in the Senior Bowl and apparently had a killer Senior Bowler week all around. Proved himself an NFL player. It was script, Maggie. It was crazy. The quarterback rolled right. It didn't look like he had anyone. Threw it into a crowd. And Jack Beck, the brother of Tiger Beck, caught the ball. Very, very emotional. Not just for him, for everybody there. And of course, nothing makes up for the tragic loss of his brother. But this was a cool moment. And the entire NFL world who was at the Senior Bowl sort of embraced it. It was awesome.
It was a really nice moment. That poor family. That is just so tragic. And again, wasn't even all that long ago. And here we are in New Orleans. But I digress. My stock up. Got to give it to Caitlin Clark. The hits keep coming. Gets her jersey retired by Iowa. Although that's not much of a shock. But they took a very big risk in this jersey retirement ceremony, Pearl, which is they did it after the game. Always a huge risk. Generally, you do those before the game because you don't know what's going to happen. People might not be in the mood for a jersey retirement. But Iowa beat USC. Then they retire her jersey. So it was happy faces all around.
Nice.
So stock up for Caitlin. Of course, she put that program on the map. All right, stock down.
Okay, stock down. This one's easy. It goes back to last week. Ohio State loses both coordinators of the football team. Chip Kelly is going to take over the OC job in Las Vegas with the Raiders. They lost Jim Knowles to Penn State. And you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this. None of the Ohio State players went to the Senior Bowl because
they were just playing.
They just played.
Yeah.
Does this late season affect college teams getting ready for next year? And they lost their coordinators well into the offseason. I think Ohio State has a tough assignment. They got to bring in two new coordinators, teach everybody the new system. And then, not only that, Michigan is stacked for next year. I think they're going to lose to Michigan five times in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
So my stock down is there. I mean, it doesn't matter. Ryan Day has the title. He's fine. But I think this puts them in a challenging position, which we see with champions. You lose your coordinators. You take a step back. This has not been a great week in Columbus.
You're right. My stock down, well, this one's a little bit personal to the show. We have incredible engineering crew with us, and Justin and Bobby are with us today. They're behind the scenes here making sure this all sounds really good. I'm sorry for Justin. Justin, our engineer's name is Justin Tucker. Of all the weeks to share a name with Justin Tucker, it's been gangbusters really for like the last decade, and now three more massage therapists have come out on top of the six that have already accused the football Justin Tucker of improprieties. Three more over the weekend. This is being reported by the Baltimore Sun, and our poor Justin Tucker, who's doing nothing but being an upstanding citizen and helping our broadcast and making sure we look good, now he's walking around as Justin Tucker on this week.
Wow,
so
wow.
Sorry for our Justin Tucker, but tough week.
Wait, when you mentioned production, I assume you were going with EJ destroying all the equipment on an hour-by-hour basis.
Yeah.
I'm giving EJ a chance to really get the stock up by the end of the show. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Starting at rock bottom here, Maggie. Only go off from here.
All of our equipment's basically broken. It's only Monday.
I have another quick stock up.
Yeah.
This is a great stat from the Pro Bowl. I didn't watch it. I assume most of you did not watch it. Probably will outrate the NBA Finals, but that's besides the point. The LSU receivers in the Pro Bowl caught a combined 8 touchdowns. And I was like, what? Listen to this list. Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. Like, that is a sick, because Brian Thomas was best rookie receiver coming. He's ready to go. That is insane that you're going to have all these guys from one school. They're going to dominate the NFL for the next 8 years.
Okay.
I don't know. 8 touchdowns in one game for LSU receivers. Tiny stat. We're in Louisiana. I thought I'd give them a shout out.
That's fantastic. I got another stock down, and this one's a little personal to me and my flight that I took down yesterday. Mm-hmm. Stock down to anyone who's consistently farting on the plane. How dare you?
What?
I was on the plane with a plane farter. And it's like, just go to the bathroom, whoever you are. Like, put us all out of our misery. I feel like this was not a thing when I was a kid or even a young adult. I just feel like I'm surrounded now by people who are just farting with reckless abandon in the airplane. It's like, it's still the same decorum, guys. You can't just unload like this. I was like, I had to sit with my my face covered up by my shirt. And the dude next to me was doing that also, and I don't think it was coming from him.
How dare you?
I'm pretty sure it was.
So is this a lot of plane rides for you?
I feel like it's been a lot more lately. And yesterday, I just can't take it anymore.
How dare you?
Yes. It's just bad. We're living in a society, people. You can't just let loose on the plane and just fart like crazy and think that, you know, like, it's going to come back around on you, number one. And two, it's just bad. It's just bad karma.
I literally have no idea.
You've never been in a plane with a plane farter? EJ,
no.
Back me up.
I have not.
Manny.
I can't say that I have either.
Bogish.
I've smelled throw up on a plane, but not
Justin Tucker.
Not farts.
Would you say it's a national trend, as Maggie is saying right now?
I don't think so.
Decorum ceases to exist. Nobody is looking out for each other anymore. We're too busy arguing and fighting about everything, and now everyone's just farting on the plane. It's gross.
But Maggie, we know your life. You've been on like 2 planes in the last 18 months. You're making it sound like you fly to work every day and there's people farting in your face the whole time.
Telling you, maybe because it just lingers and lasts. It's like the air, you know, the air like circulation is not always gangbusters in these planes. My plane was packed, too, and somebody was just dropping just fart after fart. It was disgusting.
I mean, Maggie, maybe they were sick.
Go to the bathroom.
Maybe it was the smell
or
of the...
Or don't fly.
Maybe it was the smell of the bathroom.
That's happened to me
on many planes.
I wasn't in first class or anything, but I wasn't that far back.
Huh. I don't know. I didn't know this was a trend. This is something that I think everyone needs to be aware of.
I think we need like a campaign.
You're saying
like raise money and stuff to get rid of these plane farters.
And you kind of implied there that political polarization is leading to farting on a plane, which is a new theory.
Just basically disintegration of any kind of social skills. But EJ and I talk about this all the time. People get on planes now and it's like all of a sudden like no laws exist or no even social contracts that we have with each other exist anymore. And Exhibit A is the plane farter.
I just feel like, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. I'm holding out a little thing for that the person was not feeling well and like they can't just live in the bathroom for 3 hours.
Well, I mean, think about your fellow passengers, you know?
Yeah,
and with that, we hand it off to Bogish. That was a little M&P stock up, stock down. Plane farters, you know who you are. You've been called out by me today. Stop the madness.
Mental note, do not fly home with Maggie.
No.
I'll be sniffing around. No, it's disgusting.
No, I'm saying you seem to like be not sure this has ever happened to me, to be honest.
Oh, are you trying to say it's like a whoever smelt it dealt it? It's not me. It's definitely not me.
Whoever denied it supplied it.
There you go.
I mean, I couldn't even that gas of that magnitude couldn't even exist in my body. It was bigger than me.
I wasn't implying it was you. I was implying that you seem to attract plane farts. Because
lucky me.
You're like, America, this time we look ourselves squarely in the mirror. You have to stop farting on planes. Like, that's your issue?
Yes. It's my only issue. Do whatever you want with Mars and, you know, our country, but stop farting on planes.
Maggie's a one vote.
single issue voter.
And yeah. It's farting.
It's not farm subsidies. It's farming. Farting.
Classy.
Well, I'm actually the one who is being classy because I'm not subjecting anyone to that kind of reeking disgustingness. Back to you, Bo.
Hey, thanks. It's not Luka for AD, but another significant NBA trade last night. The rumors of De'Aaron Fox going to San Antonio, now reality. Zach LaVine and 3 first-rounders go to Sacramento. The Bulls took home 3 players and a 2025 number one. Reports of that deal surfaced after Chicago lost in Detroit 127-119. LaVine did not play for the 3rd straight game for personal reasons. The Mavericks, meanwhile, shipped out Luka, then hopped on the floor in Cleveland yesterday and took a 144-101 beating. The Cavs scored 50 points in the first quarter, had a team record 91 at halftime. The Grizzlies with a 132-119 win in Milwaukee while John Morant dealt with right shoulder issues, and the Celtics cooled off the Sixers.
This is Tatum against Maxey, left side of the floor, 5 on the shot clock, Tatum drive, pull up, 14 feet, got it again!
Getting where he wants to go, anytime he wants to get there!
And Jason Tatum again for the Philadelphia fans has become Freddy Krueger. Celtics have their largest lead, up by 5 with a minute 16 to go.
That's Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. Tatum scored 13 of his 35 in the fourth in a 118-110 win after Boston trailed by 26 late in the third. If you were a great college player recently and wore number 22, you got your number retired yesterday. Iowa put Caitlin Clark in the rafters after a 76-69 upset of fourth-ranked USC. And South Carolina honored Asia Wilson while thumping Auburn 83-66. The Fever, by the way, gave Clark their own gift, signing DeWanna Bonner in free agency. Bonner is 4th in league history in scoring, with an all-star in 3 of the last 4 seasons in Connecticut. SI says the Raiders are paying Chip Kelly $6 million a year to be their offensive coordinator. That would make him the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. Kelly's been in college, just won the national title with Ohio State, since going 2-14 as the Niners head coach back in 2016.
Doesn't that seem crazy? Like, Chip Kelly, like, the highest paid offensive coordinator, suggests that he's, like, he would be the most coveted. But I didn't hear anybody else clamoring for him like this, right?
I thought it was a moment when the Patriots maybe want to talk to them, but they brought Josh McDaniels back.
Right.
So.
I'm thinking, like, you know, we saw Ben Johnson and kind of like how hot he was as a coordinator. It just seems like Chip Kelly, I didn't think of him as this massive guy that people wanted, but $6 million is not chump change.
It's also the Raiders, so they probably were negotiating against themselves. He's like, how about $6 million? Like, yeah, sure.
That's true.
How about 7?
Well, I mean, one thing is they probably had to outbid Ohio State, who lost Jim Knowles for $4 million, right?
No, three.
$3 million.
Three and a half.
So the offensive guy, you got to think, is worth a lot more than the defensive guy.
But not double, right?
I mean, they probably had to go 1.5 over Ohio State to make him leave, I would imagine.
Wow. I mean, if they were going to give Chip Kelly 4.5 to stay but not get to 3.1 for Jim Knowles, that seems a little off. Math in Columbus.
Yeah. I mean, if Jim Knowles gets $3 million to be the defensive coordinator in Penn State, coordinators, that's crazy, actually. Now they step back, that's a big number.
I was just had a thought of now Chip Kelly, not that, you know, he wasn't rich already, but he seems like someone who would sit down at a blackjack table as like a card counter, you know? Not like a...
And fart.
Maggie, you need to give your power rankings of the offensive defensive coordinators 1 to 32 who are farters and non-farters.
Most likely to be farters. All right, let me get right on that. What else you got, folks?
In the NHL last night, the Rangers down Vegas 4-2, making goalie Jonathan Quick the first American, 15th overall with 400 career wins.
I mean, it means I'm been lucky enough to play with a lot of great hockey players that value winning and, you know, put that above all else. So, you know, I'm just grateful that I've been on some great teams over the course of my career.
The victory also snapped the Rangers' 3-game slide. Vegas has now lost 3 in a row. Hashtag Manny Pucks.
Yeah.
Now back to you guys.
Thank you so much, Bogues. In the chat, they're telling me that, what did they say? That I should make sure I don't take my shoes off on the plane.
I had that thought, too.
But then Sergio weighing in, Maggie's shoes are too big. She's forced to check them.
Wow. That
sounds fair. They got to, like, go under the plane, like skis or golf clubs or something.
Do you have to sit in the emergency row with the extra leg room?
Yeah, I mean, or else I'm really jammed. Jammed in one of those regular seats. It's true. Sergio, game, set, match. Folks, thanks so much. Coming up, lots more to do, including more from the Super Bowl. We're live from Radio Row in New Orleans. It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're live from Radio Row in New Orleans. It's been a fun trip so far. Just getting here, getting our sea legs. One po' boy down.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I went for the grilled shrimp po' boy, and last night, EJ, you got the fried shrimp po' boy. The disdain with which the waitress shamed me and everyone else who got the grilled shrimp and praised EJ who got the fried shrimp was like not even subtle.
I didn't even know they made grilled shrimp.
Yeah, me neither. I thought they were always fried, but they had grilled on the menu, so I'm like, all right, let's lighten it up. It's Monday, for heaven's sakes. It was Sunday.
So what makes a po' boy? The bread?
Yeah, maybe. The sandwich?
Yeah, it's bread and fish.
Or the sauce.
Mostly shrimp. And usually lettuce, tomato. Simple.
Yeah. And pickles.
But it is usually a fried fish or a fried shrimp. So I was surprised they had grilled as well. I was then doubly surprised that you all chose grilled. I was like, I mean, we're in New Orleans. This is what we do, right?
I know. It was just like the waitress has had a way of really kind of giving us the stink eye in a very nice way. She's like, kudos to EJ for ordering it the right way. Anyway, we've got some football to talk about beyond just the Super Bowl. And Pearl, that was the Senior Bowl that happened over the weekend. Our pal Jim Nagy, who does such a great job running it. The quarterbacks obviously take center stage. Now, Jalen Milroe, really up and down. It looked like he was trending in a good way, like improving day by day. But then when the game actually happened, it wasn't all that impressive. As opposed to Jackson Dart, who had reportedly a great Senior Bowl, and it looks like his draft stock is really climbing.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Dart's a funny guy because everyone doesn't know what to make of him in Lane Kiffin's system at Ole Miss. It's like the ultimate system. But he was the number one recruit overall, Gatorade Player of the Year, USC. He was a big deal, and then everyone thought he cooled off. This is out of nowhere that he's talking about it first round. Like, during the season, did we once talk about Jackson Dart as a potentially the guy who was always Shador? Then Cam Ward came on and Milroe third. I'm very surprised that this has happened so fast.
You want to know what it is? And well, maybe it could be just credit to the player themselves and putting on a good camp and whatever, but there's just not a lot of QBs this year, and I think we're going to invent them.
Well, he's not invented. I mean, listen, he's very productive. I don't think he's like some guy out of Shepherd University like Tyson Badgett.
Right.
So I think invent, doesn't that sound too strong a word? You're saying invent him as a pro prospect.
I'm just saying and push his draft stock up to then. And
some ways, I see what you're saying. Yep, I agree.
It kind of kills these guys a little bit because it's because the supply is so big. The demand is so big. The supply is not big enough. So then we push these guys up the draft boards, and then their first round picks, they come in, they don't play well, and it's like, oh, well, he's a bust. And as a cycle gets really vicious.
Yeah, I mean, here's the, what's the comparison? Bo Nix. I mean, last year, all six quarterbacks looked very promising. I would say all six early returns are hits, right?
Yeah, right, and they all went in the first round. But it didn't, I mean, outside of, like, Michael Penix, who had an injury history, but it was kind of silly that people thought he wasn't going to be in the first round. Bo Nix, I think, ended up in the exact right place for him. And J.J. McCarthy, you would have, like, you could, you know, we still have no idea what he's going to be. We haven't seen him yet. He didn't throw the ball a lot in college, so we have no idea.
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart, obviously, is a Bo Nix comparison. It makes sense because Bo Nix, huge recruit who was disappointing and then turned it on at the end. I could see that. Although Bo Nix had 45 touchdowns and three picks his senior year. Like, that was so overwhelmingly success. I don't think Jackson Dart is that. I don't think he goes top three, ultimately. I think he is top of the second round.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a first rounder. And is, you know, functionally, that means that he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
855-212-4227. The big news, of course. Sorry, did you have more you want to say on the Senior Bowl?
Oh, no. It was kind of fun to watch. I thoroughly
What'd you like
enjoyed.
About it?
Well, they had two running back option passes that were amazing. Ollie Gordon threw one. Forgot Ollie Gordon existed because it's been so long. This, it's going to be, you know, everyone says it was going to be a bad draft, but there was a lot. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many good players here. The wide receivers apparently were not there. So there were no wide receivers at all. Maybe we don't get the great wide receiver draft. But they actually literally weren't there. Like, none of them came. But so maybe it's a different draft. Defense, finally. It's a weird draft season. Like, Cam Ward, then Shador. Did you see the Shador quote from Brian Callahan?
What did he say?
He compared him to Joe Burrow.
Huh.
The Titans coach. So all of a sudden, you're right. They push these guys up. It's getting to be silly season. You're going to see a lot of those guys walking around here. I'm curious, like, when Shador gets to New Orleans, will he be a big deal? I think so.
One thing that I didn't love about the Shador, like, the conversation that's starting to creep up around Shador is, and it was a couple, like, unnamed draft people, so take that for what it is, saying they want to interview him to see how much he wants to put football first. And that, to me, doesn't seem like that's very fair. Like, I understand he's got the, like, what he like raps a little, but like it's not like he's on tour, you know. I feel like of all the things, if you want to criticize Dion or Dion getting involved, and by the way, we don't even know how involved he's going to be, to just assume that Shador is not making football the main thing, we have no evidence of that whatsoever. I feel like you're just sort of extrapolating from his dad. Am I right?
Yeah, I've actually. That makes no sense, right? Because he's been a very productive college quarterback. That being said, like, you want to ask every player if they love football.
But isn't it kind of, I think for a lot of guys, it's really assumed. EJ, did you know where this is coming from?
I think some of that self-promotion stuff is where it's coming from. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be, oh, does he want to rap more or does he want to do something else more? I think it's, you know, more of like, hey, is he going to be dedicated, committed to what it takes to be a great player, or is he going to be into the podcasting or into, you know,
he's got a podcast,
like things like things
so
that aren't
Michael
necessary.
Parsons.
No, I know. I'm not saying I agree. I'm saying I think that's where it's coming from. It's more of like most quarterbacks, they're not really I can't think of a quarterback that has a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, Michael Parsons, hike, go run after the quarterback. Like, what does he need? He doesn't even need to look at tape.
Right.
I'm saying Shador is a different thing. I forgot he had a podcast.
Yeah. So that may
suddenly you're
I
dubious.
Don't know. It may be what they're thinking.
But, you know, I disagree with one thing. Like, there are varying degrees of loving football. Like, that is the number one question you're asking in that interview.
Okay,
you've got to get a big vibe of how hard is this guy going to work it.
Oh, I get that. But I remember when Myles Garrett was coming out of the draft, and because he happened to be into paleontology, like, this guy doesn't like football. Imagine how silly it would have been for the Browns to pass on him. He's a generational pass rusher.
Yeah. Was that the Mahomes draft, though? So, like...
Okay, well, I mean, if I couldn't get Mahomes, I'd like to have Myles Garrett.
Well, eventually they got Deshaun Watson, who was also in that draft.
Well, Deshaun, there were some real, maybe people should have been looking into the background a little bit more on that one. But I don't know. I just find that kind of silly. Okay, we have a poll question out there for you at Maggie and Pearl. Who is more likely to win a title first? Is it the brand new Lakers with Luka Doncic? Or is it the Dallas Mavericks now with Anthony Davis?
Right now, results 74% Lakers, 26% Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, look, it's creeping up towards Dallas. They're hot on their trail.
Yeah, drip, drip.
the waking up in the Central Time Zone.
I don't know about that. All right, lots more to unpack from that trade. It was a blockbuster, but what does it mean for LeBron James? We'll get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff live from Radio Row in New Orleans.